God be with those who explore in the cause of understanding, whose search takes them from what is familiar and comfortable and leads them into danger of terrifying loneliness. Let us try to understand their strange or sometimes difficult ways, their confronting or unusual language, the uncommon life of their emotions, for they have been affected and shaped and changed by their struggles at the frontiers of a wild darkness, just as we may be affected, shaped, and changed by the insights they bring back to us. Bless them with strength and peace. Amen. So this week is Mental Health Awareness Week. And the theme for this year is taking time to kōrero. And mental well-being, it exists on a spectrum. I don't know if anyone saw the interview with Kevin Mialamu on Breakfast TV, but he talked about it being on a spectrum, and that really resonated with me. In mental distress, it can range from a simple sigh or someone saying, I'm having a tough week, to someone who is experiencing severe mental health challenges. So I'm going to talk about Jesus taking time to attend to the well-being of his followers and how we might take time to respond empathetically with people in our life, including ourselves. We're presented with opportunities daily, and I hope this will sharpen the tools you already have and I've seen naturally coming from all of you. A lot of people may think that you need skills like Socratic thinking or questioning to be able to attend to someone else's distress. And I would say, if you're getting caught up in the questions, come back just to simply being present with the other person. One story that stood out to me in terms of Jesus being able to empathetically connect was the death of Lazarus. As is my understanding leading up to this, Jesus was being hunted down by the Jews. And then Lazarus, who Jesus loved, passed. Jesus has sent word of his death, and the disciples are a bit bemused as to why Jesus isn't rushing back to Judea. He ends up at the tomb 4 days after Lazarus' death. Jesus says that Lazarus will rise again, but those around him seem to think that this will happen at a later date, at the time of the resurrection. So I put myself in Jesus' shoes, and I thought how I might react to this situation. And what I came up with is I thought I'd feel quite frustrated. And I thought that I'm being rushed to go back to this place. I want to do things in my own time. I probably would have rolled my eyes and shouted "Ye of little faith" at the people around me. And then I would have cleared the way, shoved some people out of the road, and gone and raised Lazarus from the dead. However, Jesus weeps. There is a running joke that this is the shortest verse in the Bible, but for me it's one of the most powerful. And I have to say it really confuses me. The Son of God who is almighty is moved to tears. Thinking about this through a framework of empathy, I see that Jesus knows the only way he will connect with the Jews and the people around him is at an empathetic level. Jesus, in his tears, is saying, I acknowledge your pain. You've lost someone you've loved. I've lost someone I've loved. And in weeping, he actually connects with his enemies. And some of the anger is diffused. What a powerful tool that his tears move the hearts around him. It gives new meaning to Proverbs 25, verses 21 to 22, where it is said that if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. And you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Speaking of feeding those around you, the second story around Jesus being compassionate again, when he feeds the 5,000. When I was reading the story, it sounded like Jesus was trying to do some self-care after a hard week's work. He was trying to get out of the city for a break, and he ends up being followed by the crowds. And I, again, my reaction to this kind of situation would be, You're an adult. You go sort your own food. I know you can do this. However, Jesus was aware of the physical and spiritual needs of those that and attended to them. And I might say it sounds like Jesus might have been a little bit frustrated at the disciples when he told them to go and get the food for the people. Is this what he's telling us to do? To feed those? And we know that food, it restores our physical well-being, but there's also the spiritual food that God gives to us as well. And I think that it's important that we are aware of this. And to attend to one another's well-being. And I could do a whole sermon on breaking bread and the importance of food and communion, but it is that it's not only the food we provide, but it's the sitting down and listening to what's going on to one another that is really nourishing for the soul. So the Bible also talks about love being sincere and us being patient in affliction and faithful in prayer and to practice hospitality and to rejoice with those who rejoice, but also to mourn with those who mourn. To me, this sounds like ways in which we can build a connection with one another, but also speaks to empathizing and understanding. And it reminds me about what Brené said about having to connect with those feelings within ourselves for the other person to really feel like there's a connection going on. And so I wanted to talk a bit about the different types of empathy. So there are three types of empathy, and it can be done at three levels, and this can be cognitively, emotionally, and compassionately. If those three words are difficult to remember, all you need to remember are the head, the heart, and the gut. And what that means is to rationally understand what is going on for someone. This person is experiencing a struggle. And at the heart level, connecting with what feelings might be going on for them. And at the gut, mobilizing ourselves to take some action. And quite often, all that action that needs to be done is listening or just acknowledging what someone is going through. And a way in which we can do this is we can acknowledge someone's situation, we can validate, and we can normalize. And I think this can be confused that in acknowledging or normalizing someone's behavior or experience, I might compromise my own values. I have to say one situation that's going on for me at the moment is a lot of people trying to get into MIQ. And at a judgmental level, I would say it's fair, or you need to wait your turn, or everyone's got an equal opportunity. But at an empathetic level, I understand their frustration. There's probably a lot of grief, a lot of sadness that are going on for those people. But also, my values, I really value my safety as well. And I think it's possible to hold both of those. There's no right or wrong. And another way in which we can easily hear or listen to someone else is just to reflect back what we're hearing. And it can be as simple as reflect if they say, like, I've had a tough week. Oh, so it sounds like you've had a tough week. And another way in which you can do it is, oh, like, I hear you're feeling frustrated. And you can take a guess at what someone else might be feeling. And I think, yeah. So what I wanted to do is, I think it's really important, as I wanted to tell you about being curious about other people's behaviour. How easy is it to judge someone's behaviour as difficult, unprofessional, disruptive, and the list goes on? How helpful are these labels? I think for everyone's well-being, it can be helpful to understand that there is a need under every behaviour, and that 99.99% of the time, people are at their hearts good. They just may have some interesting ways to get their needs met. And it's also helpful to trust in people's own ability to come up with solutions. And I think it's more helpful for us to help someone see the choices they can make versus us telling them what to do. And to now contradict the point I've just made, someone recently said to me, "Oh, would Toastmasters help with your speaking?" And it just so happened, in the back of my mind, I was thinking about it. And so they made it a very easy step for me to take, and so I took that step. So, yes, I think it can be helpful for us to show people what their options and choices are. But, yes, sometimes we can make the suggestion. But I think it's being really okay, as I got a sense from this person, that if they don't follow through with our suggestion, that there's going to be any consequences. Talking a bit more about boundaries, I think it's really important to know your boundaries. And so this is an art that I'm still mastering with connecting with others. So for me, over the last couple of years, I've been really working on trying to give from the heart and not do so much. And I wanted to just talk a bit about when we feel like we're being stretched, often this is a sign that maybe we need to get someone else involved. And it can be really challenging to say that I don't know, or I can't see you as a client, or this is not my area of expertise. But if we overstretch, we can be putting ourselves and others at risk. And I always like to think of the metaphor of a safety net, that it's not just one support alone, that it is a community that supports one another. So we as a church are one piece of this. We have our GPs, our counsellors, our psychologists, our families, our kaumātua, our bosses, our teachers, our government. They're all part of this net. Sometimes we are in situations where we don't have enough information about a situation and we have to make a call about how to go forward with it. And I've forgiven myself for maybe not making the best response in that situation, but I also have moved forward and tried to do better. And I just wanted to put it out there that there are some times where even if we have the most secure net, that there may be people who slip through it. And I think it is important that we forgive ourselves, we move forward, and we hope that we can do better. So I've given you a 3-day training or 2-day training in about 20 minutes, and I've probably rushed through it. So I hope that something has resonated with you, and I'm really grateful that Jesus is able to perfectly empathize with whatever our situations are. And all you need to remember is the head, the heart, and the gut, and you get to choose how deep you go with supporting another person. I just wanted to take a moment to say that I'm really grateful for coming into this community. As I said, when I left Auckland at the end of last year, I was burnt out. And unfortunately, my family bore a lot of that burnout. And you probably don't know it, but everyone in this room has been really essential to part of my restoration of well-being. And I just wanted to say thank you, and it has really meant a lot to me.